Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and it's that time of week, maybe the time of year, and I'm fired up, especially every time this guy comes on. It's the Hall of Famer, John Nelson of OSG Sports in Atlanta, but today, especially, I can say it, I wish I had the song, we are the champions. Congratulations to the Toronto FC capturing the MLS Cup for 2017. Now look, they have captured the Supporter Shield. They captured the Canadian Championship. They captured the MLS Cup. Javinko, I'm calling you out. Altidore, I'm calling you out. All the guys, I need a ring. If Latasur is going to provide me a ring from Georgia, Toronto FC, a team that I have accreditation with, a team that I have covered when they were, well, I'm going to say it, crap. I need a ring. John Nelson of OSC Sports, what do you say? Do I need a ring?
Mazel tov, that's what I say.
Well, happy Hanukkah. Anyways, let's talk about the game Saturday. BMO Field was electric. I think the biggest crowd ever in BMO Field history. What did you think? Let's face it, Toronto FC proved one thing. Saturday, this is the team that will go down in history as maybe the best MLS team in the history of MLS. I know that you're questioning it or whatever, but that first half, Toronto FC should have been up 3-0.
And, you know, when you're putting the pedal down, you're pressuring Seattle the way that they were. But I had half a mind. If the game was going to finish 1-0, I had half a mind to pull a Chuck Howley and name Stefan Fry most valuable player, considering how some of his saves in the first half were absolutely obscene. And he kept Seattle in the match, plain and simple. He had 7 first-half saves, and some of them were just absolutely ridiculous. If you were watching this on American television and watching Adrian Healy and Taylor Twellman was coming out of his shoes with some of the stuff that Stefan Fry was doing. But you had a feeling that it was only a matter of time just because of how Toronto was coming at Seattle in waves. And the irony that it was Josie Altidore getting the first goal, and really which was the game winner, but the intricacy with which he got it past Fry using his left and putting it over a very small amount of space as Fry was diving to his right, the open space really just outside of the outstretched left arm and the underarm and getting it into the, you know, into the back of the net, the irony that Altidore got the first goal, and also the numbers that Michael Bradley put up in the middle of the pitch, winning all the challenges that he did, and being in complete control of his passing situations. I want to say 91% completion rate with his passes. You know, the United States soccer fan, hopefully with this effort, can just get it past them and stop booing Altidore and Bradley for their contributions, considering what they did to help Toronto FC get MLS Cup over the weekend.
Now, here's the interesting thing to me. As you know, I'm Canadian. You're American.
Worked in Canada.
You worked in Canada here also. But what was it like, because, you know, I was at the game. I saw, obviously, Canadian feed or whatever. What was the atmosphere? What did it look like in, obviously, you saw the American telecast, and how did they treat the Toronto fans? Because arguably, they won this year. They've gone to 2 straight MLS finals, and they should have won last year. Let's get over that or whatever. But and they had the most points in MLS history and everything. And we got to say, I know what you're going to say, but TFC is favorite to be in a 3rd straight championship, but the atmosphere in Toronto, and let's look at, I know this is a soccer, but Canadian football, 2 weeks ago, they had the Argos winning the Grey Cup. That's the Super Bowl, Canadian football Super Bowl here. So MLSC is not doing too bad, and BMO Field should go now down as the home of champions. But what did the atmosphere, and what were they saying in a U.S. telecast?
No, I mean, the pictures, it was done as a soccer match. It wasn't done as Seattle, U.S. versus Canada, Seattle versus Toronto. It wasn't done as country versus country. It was done as a championship game. And ESPN sent a lot of personnel up there, and they had Max Bretos as part of it, and he was anchoring the coverage. Now, fellow Florida State guy, I have to give him a shout-out there, but it wasn't treated as an us versus them kind of a thing. It was treated as the last soccer match of MLS season. And to give you an idea about the ratings in the States, in Seattle, the game pulled a 7.0. When you look at the top 10 media markets that watched the match, the top 10 highest-rated media markets, it included Columbus, Ohio, Newport News, Portsmouth, Roanoke, Virginia, Louisville, Birmingham, Austin, Texas, and there were a lot of non-traditional, you know, what you wouldn't think of as soccer franchise markets that were watching the match. And I think that says a lot about what the game is doing in lower divisions and what it means to cities in general to have the kind of numbers that they were in the cities that they were having them in. So there was interest, but for Seattle to pull a 7.0, not necessarily a surprise, but the broadcast itself was done as a championship game. It was not done as, you know, an international match like CONCACAF or anything like that, not presented that way at all.
All right. So a couple of points from that. I always get emails. What does 7.0 mean? Can you tell the fans here, okay, the rating was 7.0, the rating was 3.4, what does that mean?
There are X number of households that are attached to a number of 1.0. And usually, if I'm not mistaken, it's 25,000 households per rating point. So multiplying that out, you had 175,000 metered households in Seattle watching the match. And then you can just carry it down the scale. So look at it as a 1.0 is 25,000 homes, and then you carry it forward. So I think that's what the number is these days. So you know, you look at it in that manner, and so in Seattle, it had its fair number of viewership, which was understandable. But like I said, you know, when you have an Austin, Texas, a Birmingham, a Louisville, and Newport News, Virginia, Roanoke, Virginia, as four of the other top nine markets, you know, like I said, I think it says a lot about where the sport is right now and where the interest is. And remember, that doesn't include in a Seattle, that doesn't necessarily include a sports bar that has, you know, all the televisions fired up watching it. It doesn't include all of the viewing parties. It doesn't translate into those numbers. One house is one house. It's not multiple televisions with hundreds of people watching under one roof at a sports bar. That doesn't necessarily count or carry over, so that math is a little difficult to figure. So 175,000 households, then you multiply that to viewing parties and things like that. So, no, it was a solid effort, and it doesn't, you know, and they've yet to figure out how to really include apps and viewing it over computers and things like that. So, you know, when those dynamics come forward in a little while, you'll be able to get a larger number. But, you know, I would say easily 200,000 households or 200,000 viewers, probably closer to 250 by the time that you're done, if you're looking at it in apps and internet and all these things and minutes viewed with Facebook and taking all the social media into account. So I'm sure it had its say in a bunch of different platforms.
Okay, so a couple of final questions with John Nelson of OSG Sports, the Hall of Famer here on barnburner.ca, fired up. Now, you sort of laughed when I said arguably the best team ever in MLS history. If TFC is not the best, who would you put it in as the best? And how would 2017 MLS season, in your eyes, be remembered?
Well, let's go backwards. Obviously, with TFC winning the treble, that's the easy part. I think it's remembered for what's going on in Columbus, Ohio. I think it's what's remembered for what happened in Atlanta, Georgia, with Atlanta United. I think that it reminds us how crowded the Western Conference is when it comes to parity, and how just because you're in your mid-30s and you're a player of David Villa's stature doesn't mean that you lose touch with what you're able to do as a professional. So I think that it's a lot of different fronts. I think that there are some of the franchises like the early DC United from the early years of MLS that can be a part of it. You know, the Chicago Fire team that Bob Bradley had in its first season.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are teams that have made runs, you know, Seattle in the past, the Galaxy in the past, when they had their run. There are teams in certain eras that have had tremendous success. I'm not going to use anything resembling a D word unless we're talking 3 or 4 years from now and Toronto FC has continued the success rate that they've had. There are plenty of franchises over the last 20 years that have had their own levels of success. Is Toronto FC in its current form one of the best? Yes. It might be on my Mount Rushmore. I don't know. It's probably still in debate. Are they top five? Sure. Are they the best of this era? Perhaps. But they've only won one championship. I'm not set to put them on the top of a pedestal. Is it one of the best single-season performances we've seen? Sure. Because when you win a treble, obviously, it'd be ignorant to have it go otherwise. But are they one of the best of all time? Still remains to be seen. Give me another 3 or 4 years of the same level of performance, and then we'll talk.
All right. So it's December. Well, December 9th was the final. December 10th, we're taping this. So what does that mean? There's 2 days left till the new season starts, right? Anyways, today there was a list of unprotected players and free agents. I'm not going to go through the list, obviously, because of time, but in your estimation, what surprised you?
I think what New England got for Kai Kamara and how they plan on using it, and Brad Friedel, how he plans on implementing it. I think that's the next biggest question. Kai Kamara being traded, all the activity that Atlanta United had, shoring up what will be probably their USL roster with a lot of moves, especially with Sporting Kansas City. You have Alvarez moving from Chicago to Houston. You have Walker Zimmerman, to me, was probably the biggest surprise, and that was one of the first trades that came across in the half-day trade window, where Walker Zimmerman left FC Dallas and is now with LAFC. So I think that if a team is looking for a center back, I think that you're going to see that as a priority across the board now with a bunch of guys having shifted. So really, I would say what was given up for Kai Kamara and the fact that Walker Zimmerman ended up in Los Angeles, to me right now, would be the top two moves of the half-day trade deadline day.
All right, so final thought. I'll let you close it out here. You want to say anything to the Toronto fans who are starving for a championship? Arguably, okay, the Argos won, but the CFL is sort of dying here in Toronto. But when you have Major League Soccer and the nationalities here in Toronto, it should be interesting. Tomorrow is the big parade. I want to see how many people show up, and is it equivalent to, let's say, the Blue Jays winning the World Series? Because that's what you can equate it to, because I wasn't aboard when the Maple Leafs won the Stanley Cup, and the Raptors have never won anything in their 24-year existence. So should be interesting to see how the parade goes, but anything you want to say to the Toronto fans here? And tell everybody, the other question is, tell everybody how they could get a hold of you, John.
Enjoy it, because in about 6 weeks, it all starts over again. You got the expansion draft coming up around the corner before you know it. And how will Tim Bezbachenko keep the team together? I think that's the next question. But enjoy it through the parade, and you've got about 6 weeks to figure it out and get ready for 2018. Easiest way to stay in touch is through Twitter at Soccer Down Here. Follow me individually at OSG Nelson. Follow Jason Longshore at Longshoe, and follow Jarrett Smith at Jarrett_Smith. Also follow us on Instagram at Soccer Down Here. Join us on Twitter at Soccer Down Here, Facebook Soccer Down Here - Atlanta United. Listen live 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, on Blog Talk Radio. And you can also listen to the re-air overnights on ESPN Coastal for a two-hour block, usually around midnight or so as well. So you've got all that. You've got the OSG College Football Report on the Barn Burner platform as well. So there's a lot of different ways to stay in touch with what's going on, because while the soccer season might be over on the pitch, it's really picked up off the pitch, and you've got to pay attention to who's protected, who's unprotected, and the expansion draft coming up around the corner for LAFC.
All right, then. That's John Nelson, the Hall of Famer of OSG Sports in Atlanta. And once again, congratulations to everybody at Toronto FC. The media staff have been great, Mike and Anthony and their team, and everybody in Toronto FC, an outstanding effort. Thanks a lot, John.
Anytime, my friend.